Iraq is descending into chaos, but not for the reasons you're being fed by the politicians and the mainstream media. In June of 2014, the world watched in shock as an Islamic militant group operating under the name of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, took control of Mosul, Baiji, and Tikrit and began pushing south to Baghdad. Fallujah has been under their control since January. Iraqi military and police put up very little resistance in spite of the fact that they greatly outnumbered the militants. Most fled their posts and left their uniforms and weapons behind. Those who didn't were killed. ISIS, whose stated goal is to erase the border between Syria and Iraq, to establish an Islamic caliphate encompassing both countries, and to impose Sharia law, already holds vast swaths of territory, and they are rapidly gaining ground. How did this happen? That's an extremely important question. How you answer it will determine what comes next, not just in Iraq. That's why the media spin doctors and politicians are out in force, attempting to rewrite history and turning reality completely on its head in the process. For example, we have people insisting that this is happening because the US and NATO failed to intervene in Syria. Well, that's a convenient answer, isn't it? The US and NATO have been actively working to topple Assad by arming and funding the Syrian rebels since at least 2011. This has developed into a bloody civil war which has attracted jihadists from all over the world. It has also created a vacuum of power which enabled groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Al-Nusra to organize and establish physical strongholds. The US claims to only be arming the moderate rebels. However, the leadership of the Free Syrian Army, aka the FSA, has stated that they regularly carry out joint operations with Al-Qaeda and its affiliates. Up until recently, ISIS was a branch of Al-Qaeda. In February of this year, Al-Qaeda's official leadership publicly disavowed ISIS due to their brutal tactics. That's why ISIS is referred to as a splinter group. Furthermore, we know for a fact that the majority of the weapons and funding from the US and its allies are ending up in the hands of jihadists, and US officials have been aware of this since 2012. But don't take my word for it. Go read this article from the New York Times yourself. Do the math, folks. ISIS would have never gotten a foothold in Syria if the US hadn't weakened the Syrian government, and the weapons that they're using right now were most likely paid for with your tax dollars. But wait, this isn't just about Syria, is it? It's also about Iraq. Which brings us to the other deranged narrative that's being promoted right now. That this chaos is unfolding because the US military withdrew prematurely in 2011. You see, Iraq is in ruins and unable to defend itself because the US military left the party too early. It's not because the Bush administration and the mainstream media convinced the public that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction and was planning to use them. No, and it's not because the US invaded Iraq under these false pretenses, disbanding the Iraqi army and police and reducing the country to rubble in an attempt to put down the resulting insurgency. No, it's because 8 years of military occupation wasn't enough. Those who fought there, it's a punch in the gut to see your sacrifice was for nothing. But the occupation of Iraq was never going to end well. And the Bush administration knew that it wouldn't. But don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at this clip, Dick Cheney from 1994.
Do you think that the U.S. or U.N. forces should have moved into Baghdad?
No.
Why not?
Because if we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over, and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government of Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take Iraq.
That was very astute, Dick. You accurately predicted the mess that you were going to help create in 2003. I would even venture to say that your predictions were more accurate than those who warned against this adventure. I'm impressed. Now you'll notice that the talking heads at the left and the right are both trying to frame this crisis as the fault of the other side. They're both right. Both sides of the aisle have blood on their hands, and this goes way beyond Bush and Obama. The United States has been tinkering in Iraq for a long, long time. In fact, it was the CIA that put Saddam in power in 1963. Don't take my word for it. Go read this article from the New York Times. The US government also backed Saddam in 1980 when he launched a war of aggression against Iran, even though they knew he was using chemical weapons. But again, don't take my word for it. Go read this article by Foreign Policy magazine. Fast forward to 1990. Saddam Hussein was embroiled with Kuwait over oil prices and borders, and he was preparing to take action. Given America's support in the war against Iran, Saddam had no reason to believe that Kuwait would be any different. But just to be sure, he decided to consult with Washington first. On July 25th of 1990, U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, April Glaspie, met with Saddam Hussein. In the meeting, Saddam described his case against Kuwait and told Glaspie that he viewed their activities as an act of military aggression. Glaspie responded by saying, quote, "We have no opinion on Arab-Arab conflicts like your border disagreement with Kuwait." And she reinforced this by saying, "This issue is not associated with America." Naturally, Saddam interpreted this as a green light. And 8 days later, he invaded. Later, when questioned in hearings, Glaspie claimed that though this quote was accurate, she had followed it up by insisting that Iraq settle its dispute nonviolently.
"Did you say we have no opinion on the Arab-Arab conflicts like your border disagreement with Kuwait?"
"Yes, that was one part of my sentence. The other part of my sentence was, but we insist that you settle your disputes with Kuwait nonviolently."
However, that's not what shows up in the transcripts of the conversation released by the New York Times. According to the transcript, what she actually said was, "All that we hope is that these issues are solved quickly."